Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 175. It's Black Friday soon, and I can't wait.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork. Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 175. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for being here. So, this particular podcast is going to be a little different than usual because of a couple different things. First of all, it's going to be a Christmas analysis on the tune, Let It Snow. And I absolutely love that tune. And this is going to be my performance of Let It Snow with a small solo. And this is taken from... it's an excerpt from our brand new Christmas Joy specialty course. Now, this particular specialty course is being released on Black Friday, November 29th. And our promotions, our offers are going out at 12 a.m. on Black Friday, November 29th. Now, let me tell you something. Black Friday is a special day for many reasons. Because, like Christmas... for kids, for adults, right? Well, I kind of consider myself an adult, but I'm not really. I'm pretty much a child still. In many ways, excuse me. Not just, mostly mentally, okay? But Black Friday allows us adults to get the most, get anything we want, pretty much, and save the most amount of money at the same time. It's incredible. It's like better than Christmas. It's amazing, right? Because we get to choose what we want. So I go out of my way every single year because I'm gonna be buying a TV, and I don't know what you got on your list, but I got a Black Friday list already. I want to be buying a new TV myself. Okay, don't tell anyone, but that's for me. And I love the TVs. The TV deals are amazing, right? But you have other deals on Amazon and all over, like Walmart. Every store has got ridiculous deals. And it's hands down, you know, if you buy something on Black Friday, I mean, that game over, right? That's it. Like, you're not getting better savings than you are on Black Friday anytime throughout the year, right? At any time. So I go out of my way to give everybody who is interested the absolute best smoking deal of the year on Jazz Piano School. And this year we have, it's fantastic. And I'll give you a little teaser. I mean, you're getting the most access for the least amount of money. In the cost that we've put together, plus the bonuses and the offer, and the Christmas course is included in our Black Friday offer, which is absolutely amazing. So you get it for free with the Black Friday offer plus all the other goodies. I'm not going to tell you about that. I'll just have to wait and see. And I'm going to tell you how to get informed about all that in just a second. But the price is the lowest price that we've ever done in all 5 years of being open. Now, we did this price once 5 years ago, the very first year that we were open. And that's because we were brand new. I mean, honestly, we had like a couple hundred followers, you know what I mean? And so we did this, I did this price. I didn't really have a team at that time helping me out. And so I was kind of managing the whole business myself. At this point, I'm not. I have, other members to bounce ideas off of, right? And they agreed with me that we should try this again because it would be, and so, the best deal ever of the year. And so we did this 5 years ago, and since then we have not done this deal, okay, in this offer. So that's telling you something. I mean, this is going to be absolutely incredible, all right? Now, the way you want to get informed about this, if you're not already on our email list, you want to go to jazzpianoschool.com/ B as in boy, F, short for Black Friday, right? BF 2019. jazzpianoschool.com/ BF 2019. Opt in, okay, to get on our Black Friday list, and you will get two things. We're right in the middle of, I just launched a brand new 5-series part workshop. And this workshop is going over jazz piano school in its entirety. Now, I do this occasionally from time to time, and I put different spins on it because so many people have told me, and I've realized this, it takes about 5 to 7 times that I need to tell people something before it really starts to sink in. And the way I explain our education in this particular workshop is I think it's pretty amazing. It's pretty awesome because I go into detail about the way we use theory sequences and how those are jazz sentences and how I got this idea based off of my French class and this, you know, the proven language learning blocks that people, that language teachers use to teach languages to people. And, you know, all this good stuff. I go over the lab, the main course curriculum, and I give you piano examples, like demonstrations at the piano. And I'm teaching you tools and going through these analogies that will really help to open your eyes, right? They'll really help to unveil the curtain that may be clouding your path, right? And you may not know about it. So I mean that in the nicest way, because I was, my judgment was clouded as well because I was so frustrated and I didn't realize that there was a whole other process at the time that I could take to learn jazz piano. I always thought it was a complete crapshoot in the dark, meaning I would consistently have to dig for puzzle pieces from my teachers, from books, from different resources. Like I would have to do all the work, legwork myself. I would have to go all by the books. I'd have to go to all the teachers. I'd have to study with different teachers, right? Because I'd have to dig around and put the pieces together myself. All the nuggets and all the little informational pieces I collected, I would have to make sense of all of them and complete the puzzle. And that took me 15 plus years. I mean, I never accomplished that goal because that system of education is broken, right? And you may be doing the exact same thing. And so finally, I realized after my epiphany that I had, and I created this new way of learning jazz piano, this new opportunity for everybody and even myself. It started with me. I used my own system, and then I started teaching my students it. And after seeing their success, I taught more and more people. I taught thousands of students, right? And my students started suggesting to me, they're like, Brendan, this is amazing. Like your education, like they're like, we've never encountered anything like this ever before. And they were making incredible progress, you know, and loving it. And they're like, you should put this online, you know? And me, like this 5 years ago, you know, I was like late 20s. I was like, online? I was like, huh, that's a pretty good idea. I was like, dang, I think I'll do that. They're like, yeah, put it online. Like more people need to know about this. So that's what I mean by like clouding of your judgment. And I refer to this analogy if you guys have seen The Matrix. This analogy doesn't work if you haven't seen The Matrix, but if you've seen The Matrix, Neo at the end, he can see the code, right? He sees inside the Matrix, like more than what's just in front of his eyes. And so essentially, when you start to learn about the way that you can approach the education of the jazz piano process using systematic and clear, organized tools with a success path and a learning structure, right? You'll start to be able to stop bullets. Like the Matrix, but clearly not stop bullets, but you'll start to see and realize that, oh my God, like I've wasted so much time trying to dig around, copy lines, copy voicings, learn transcriptions and tunes, and I could have been doing it this way the entire time and making massive amounts of progress in like 1/10 of the time that it took me before, right? And this was all the things that I realized and actually got me to the place that I'm at. It literally propelled me to be where I am in my playing today if it wasn't for the work that I put in based on the epiphany I had from my French teacher about language learning blocks and jazz sentences. And I built this whole system, right, for learning jazz piano. And some people may be like, oh, Brendan, you built a whole system. Yeah, right, it's a lifelong journey. Yeah, okay, I get that, all right? I'm not saying this is, you know, like, all right, it's not a magic bullet, okay? You don't just like join jazz piano school and bingo, bango, bongo, Bob, like you can play like Art Tatum. No, you still have to practice your booty off, right? And you got to work real hard. But guess what? all the information and the way you move through the education is as clear as night and day. Like, it is literally, the path is literally right in front of you, coupled with the JazzPL School Lab that we have, which gives you quick upgrades and quick boosts to specific areas that you want or need help in. Those are the areas that you have holes in your playing due to your previous jumping around adventures, right? You're going to have holes in your playing. So when you start following our success path, you're going to have to raise some of the skill sets and balance them out with a quick boost to different skill sets. That's what our lab is for. And then once you got those new tools in your tool bag, you go back to the success path and you continue down your journey. Easy peasy. It's one road. You're following a step-by-step process. It's not just solo piano. It's not just comping. It's not just rhythms. It's not just improv. It's not just two-hand voicings. It's everything. Our success path covers everything. And you still may be like, I don't believe you. I mean, it took me 4 years to put together. 4 years. I literally was in the trenches for 4 years, combining all these informational resources, making all these theory sequences, putting them in order, using them myself, experimenting, tinkering, until I perfected this curriculum that moves you from point A to point Z and teaches you the tools you need that you can apply to every tune, any tune you want. You don't just learn a tune from a transcription, and then if I ask you to play, oh, why don't we go play I Should Care, you'd be like, I can't play that one. You know, I only learned this transcription for All of Me. So that's really the only tune I can play, because I watched a teacher play All of Me and I saw him the way he did it. And so I copied some of the stuff that he did. And so I can kind of play it, but I can't play like a tune from scratch. I can't just open up to like, I can't play I Should Care. That's exactly what I was saying to people. That literally came out of my mouth back in the day when I was just, you know, frustrated as all heck, right? Those words, I was literally uttering those and thinking those at all times. I couldn't just open up to any tune that I wanted and express myself freely, play freely from the heart. And that's exactly what the Jazz Piano School system allows you to do. All right, I'll get off my soapbox because I'm going to give you this Christmas demo of Let It Snow, which is amazing. And again, the great thing about the Christmas course, just to add a little bit more in here, is that unlike a standard Christmas course where they give you the transcriptions and you play the transcriptions and you learn how to play them based on the transcriptions and what the teachers played, which I don't like, by the way, I do not approve of that because that's the old style of learning jazz piano. Make no buts about it, right? That's not the right phrase, but I'm going to go with it. I don't remember what it is. Like, that is the old style of learning, right? I don't like that style, but this is a fun specialty course. So what I did was in the beginning of the specialty course, lessons 1 through 5, I actually teach you all of the tools that I've added and used in the Christmas course. So for all the arrangements, I'm using specific tools, right? Theory sequences, part of my education style, teaching. And these tools allow you to see exactly what I'm doing so that you have a thorough understanding and a clear picture of exactly what I'm doing so that you can take those tools and do the same thing on your own, not in just Christmas songs, but other songs, any other jazz standards that you want. So when you get to the Christmas transcriptions and you're looking through them, you're like, oh, I know how to do that. Like, I can do that over other tunes now. Whereas if I didn't teach you the tools, if I gave you the Christmas transcriptions, just like everybody else does, right, and showed you how to play them with the notation and said, okay, cool, check out what you can do here, here, and here on measures 5 through 8, 8 through 12, you would have no idea how to take and implement those specific tools into other tunes. You just know how to play that one piece. Ah, man, I'm so passionate about this, so passionate about helping people and pulling back the curtain, you know, that is jazz piano education. So I hope you guys enjoy this. It's a great course because of the tools up front and then the analysis after that. That's why it's so different. It's so amazing. You get the best of both worlds. But this, my friends, is just analysis because it's a podcast. If you want the course, go to jazzpianoschool.com/BF2019. Get on the list, and we will email you at 12 a.m. on Black Friday our best, absolute best, hands down, reopening offer of Jazz Piano School of the Year. We're closed right now, by the way. After this, we're going to close again, and we're not going to reopen until next year sometime. And we're using a closed structured model now. Okay, before we were continuously open for members to join. That is no longer true. So if you want to get in, we're reopening. We just launched about a month and a half ago our brand new website, Jazz Piano School 2.0, which we're going to continuously be making upgrades to. And that was amazing. Our members are loving it. It's fantastic. And so now we're reopening. We had to reopen for Black Friday, right? It was Black Friday. I kind of, I made a mistake there because I didn't plan out the launch of the website in Black Friday too strategically, right? That was my oversight because we were open for the website and then we're like, okay. I was like, we're closing down, which we did. But then I was like, oh crap. I was like, Black Friday is coming. I was like, we need to open up for Black Friday because people are going to want deals, right? People are going to want to get in and they'll be expecting it. So we're reopening with amazing, amazing deal. And then we're going to be closing down on Cyber Monday at 11:59 p.m. Pacific. Okay, 11:59. And then after that, that's it. Closed. Over. Closed. Tight. Locked. So if you want in, you got to get on our waiting list. And we will send you the details of that next year when we reopen. Okay? But this is a great opportunity. So with that being said, here is, by the way, I'm going to post the video because there's a video. You got to watch the video. I mean, that's the whole analysis. But if you're listening on the podcast, that's great because this is the audio version right now. And definitely go to the website, check out the analysis video because you can see everything. The notation is there and I'm explaining everything. But if you want to listen here, obviously you can do that as well. All right. You guys are amazing. Thanks so much for letting me vent, or not vent, I should say, get on my own soapbox. And here is Let It Snow. All right, welcome to Let It Snow. This is a really, really fun one. I absolutely love the song. I added a solo in here that I'm going to be analyzing as well. So that's kind of a treat for you guys. I told you before, I didn't want to add solos into everything because it would get pretty intense. And again, this course isn't about improvisation. But I did want to add a couple in here and there, so they are sprinkled through the course, and this happens to be one of them. So, with that being said, let's get started. So, I am using the 1625, and I love it. I mean, I love this one, right? Now, you may be wondering about that particular voicing right there, right? Sometimes, you know, I've explored certain voicings, right? And I've just come up with different ones that I really, really like, right? For no apparent reason. Now, this over the C, right, is kind of like a D major 7 chord without the third, right? It also could be viewed like an A flat triad with the fourth in there. So you can view it two ways. It doesn't really matter, but I discovered this voicing just playing around and I love it. So I use it often in the 1625s with, in the key of F, or excuse me, not in the key of F, but like in replace of the sixth chord, anytime I'm kind of playing these 1625s. So that's where that comes from, right? And then down to the G minor. And then I have this break here. I don't think we got to that. Let me keep going here. Now, the thing about the break is I want you to notice, just look at what register's in, right? It's down in this low, meaty area, and I love improvising down here. I'll even improvise down here. That's a great, great texture area to improvise in, and you should be improvising in the entirety of the piano, like all over, like all the way down here. Right? No matter where it is, you should try improvising there, and it makes for amazing, amazing textures, all right? Here we go. Now,
Now, my approach to the beginning of Let It Snow is a halftime feel, right? I'm not going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, right? Let me scroll back up here in the music. So here, right? I'm holding my left hand voicings. So I'm kind of creating this halftime feel, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, right? Just to kind of set things up, take things slow, right? I want to kind of build into what we're going to be getting into, right? Let's check it out again. Still halftime here. Right now, you've heard, if you, as you go through the course, you're going to hear this. I love that. It's a quick little ditty to resolve to the one. Takes 2 seconds, all six chords, right? E flat six, E six, F six chords, right? Just a little quick thing. Really, really cool thing to add into your repertoire. So there, I kind of hit a G sus chord actually, which isn't there, and I'll make that change there. I hit this G sus, right, to bring us to the key of C, which is the new key that we're going to be going to, right? And sometimes that wasn't written in, right? But sometimes you need that. Throw in the five chord of whatever key you're going to. Now, as we go into the bridge here, I start to play stride. And I'm using this kind of Kenny Barron method that he uses on this duo album, and he's just using two notes, just the thirds, and that will all already create, you don't need the sevenths. I know I teach that, but sometimes you don't, and sometimes the simplicity works, you know, and that's for an advanced player, but like here, it works really well, just playing those two notes in the left hand. Now, all those chords were written in there as part of the chart, and I liked it, actually, and I've seen that before. Obviously, you have this chromatic moving down, part. Right? And then moving down to the D. Now, there's a lot of stuff you can do with that. I didn't really want to change that in any way, but you definitely could reharm those in a lot of cool, fancy ways because you have a lot of dominant chords there, right? Let's take it from here. Sorry guys, hold on one sec. Gotta get the notation. Scrolling notation, you know, it's gotta work with you sometimes. Here we go. I got it. We'll have to start a little bit further behind. Why is it doing that? Alright. Here we go. You just get to listen to it again, right? So here's the bridge, my stride. Dominant chords coming down. Now there, I kind of had the... So this sus chord, I love the sus chord. It fits very, very nicely. Right? And then into this C7, flat 9, flat 13. Beautiful, lush chord there. And again, this is a two-hand voicing build. 1, 7, 3, and then I'm adding my flat 9, flat 13, and then now going on to the A after the bridge, right? I'm choosing to use this pedal thing, which we're right on. So I'm pedaling everything in C, in my left hand on the key of C, as you'll see, geez, you'll listen to, right, coming up right here, right, C. So once I get into my soul here, I go into this, I call this the Oscar Peterson bassline feel because I rarely hear other players do this. Dave McKenna obviously loved to walk bass. If you guys haven't heard of him, definitely check him out. Dave McKenna was more of the walking bass type. He definitely did this style. I originally heard it from Oscar, but the low end, that's like definitely Oscar's thing. He's using all these blues licks and stuff like that. So definitely that's very ingrained into my playing. Like I said before, getting down here into the lower registers, such a great characteristic and feature of improvisation when you can do that. Right? Listen to the power and like the depth and richness in that register right there. It's so amazing. I mean, this is, you guys need to keep in mind, this, that's a very thin, it has, the higher registers have a thin quality, right? They don't have much substance. You know, the lower registers are great, and so many people disregard that. They don't play down here. And man, it's like you're leaving all this out, right? So definitely add this low register into your improv. I'm starting out with mostly blues. Again, so the blues scale here, just regular blues, and then what I like to call the major blues scale. So on the end, the major six blues scale, excuse me, I have the six instead of the seven. Again, Oscar Peterson loves to use that instead of the seven. Okay, I also have a lot of the major blues scale that I like to call. So here's our major blues scale. All right, and that's essentially all I'm doing here. I'm just thinking F blues the entire time. Now here, just notice something. When I move up into the higher registers now, it takes on a whole new feel. Like if I had started there, you would have expected that, right? And then you'd be like, okay, yeah, that's how solos usually begin. But since I started in the lower register, then moved up, when I do that, it's like refreshing. You know, it's like, oh man, okay, that sounds really good, right? Let me go back just a little bit here so you can hear that. Now high register. Now I start comping here in the beginning of my solo on the bridge, and don't forget to do that. I mean, that's no problem. You don't have to play single note lines all the time, right? Add in some different textures, some chordal improvisation, right? And I'm also reflecting the melody, kind of, you know, stating exactly where we are in the tune. So definitely a good thing to add in anytime you're doing a solo. That's a little cool reharm there. And again, the chords, right? I wanted to write in the chords. Whoops, sorry. I want to write in the original chords of the jazz chart so you could see what I was doing. So to approach the G sus chord, I simply approach the G sus with an A flat sus. So I went A flat sus down into the G sus. Now, how did I get there? You guys, hopefully you watched all of the reharm video, right? I took a tritone of D. Well, first, right? The D minor 7. What did I do? I made that a secondary dominant. So I made that a D7, and then I took the tritone of D7 and I made that an A flat 7, and then I made that a sus chord. Boom, A flat sus, down into the G sus, and then what did I do from there? I actually turned the G chord, the G7, into a tritone as well, made that D flat, right? D flat 13 here, excuse me, D flat 9, and then down into the C chord, right? That's a really cool quick reharm I threw in there. So you'll see I'm kind of using this rhythmic figure a lot, and our transcriptionist put it as kind of like a six grouping of a triplet feel, like a six triplet feel grouping. And that's kind of like when I'm laying back, right? I'm using this triplet feel, but I'm laying back, and it wasn't so prevalent there, but again, that like kind of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, right? So that's kind of the same voicings I used from before as well. So clearly I like those voicings right there. Let's take it from here. Oops, sorry, did it again. My bad. We'll have to go back a little bit. Oh, man, this thing is killing me. Here we go. There we go. reharm, motif, now check it out. It's the first time I'm actually using long strings of 16th notes, right, to go through to actually put in my solo, and it creates a really nice texture, like out of, because I haven't used many 16th notes yet, right, until this point, and it's coming from before that, right? As you see here, I'm using this triplet line. I haven't used many triplets either, and so that was a really nice thing for me to do here, and then move into the 16th note line, right? Back into the head out. Now here, because I wanted to keep the energy up, I just kept the stride going in my left hand. And all I'm doing here is just simple shells. Like, check it out. It's just shells, right? So just shells. Let me see, where am I? And then again, single notes here, right? More shells here. Very, very simple stuff, right? Happening. It sounds more complicated than it actually is. Goodness, this thing's gonna kill me. There we go. Now here, I was getting kind of like antsy, to tell you a little behind what I'm doing here and my thoughts. And I remember this because I was like, I'm playing the same, like I've played the head like so many times now. And if I had a little bit more time, I could have reharmed a little bit more, right? But I went into kind of a softer version. I kind of brought things down a little bit. I was just playing single note, the single note pedal in my left hand. But it could have been done a little bit better than I actually did it, to be honest with you. And again, I was looking for some way to change it up, right? You want to be able to look out for ways to kind of change things and arrange things better than I did here, right? So that they have more texture and character and flavor. Because after playing Let It Snow, the head like 3, 4, 5, 6 times, it's like, okay, you know, it's like this is getting a little repetitive here. You know what I mean? And on the bridge here, I just kind of, again, I stayed with the same approach that I used before. Just that stride feel. Actually, one thing to note that I just realized, listen to the difference in the bridge, right? Because on the bridge, I start using the pedal. Okay, so I do add a different flavor and texture to the bridge here because I add the pedal in. Before here, I'm not using the pedal. Let's go back a little bit further, right? So check out the difference in the no pedal versus pedal. It completely changes the way the tune sounds. Oh my goodness. All right, this thing's gonna really. Here we go, hopefully this works. Oops, sorry guys. Hold on. My apologies. Here we go. Check it out. Pedal. Right? You hear that difference? It's a different texture. And then I go back into no pedal when I come out of the bridge. Oh no, I stay with it just a little bit. Just to keep that kind of more elegant feel going on. Alright, what ending do I use here? Right, so I used a tag here, right? So I just went down to the 6, and I'm playing a 6 rootless altered chord, right? My left hand, again, that's all it is. And then I tagged it, right? Going down here, right here, here's my tag. And then I did shells this time, right? On that middle measure. Okay, and then what I did is kind of lengthened the melody on those two bars as it starts to play here. I kind of lengthened that melody. Now this progression I use, again, you should definitely know this. 1/3, 4. This could be dominant 4. Diminished 7 here. And then you can either hit here and then do a break like I did, or you can go 1/5, 6, 2, 5, 1. Or you can do that break there. So this can be a 6 chord, a dominant, or it can be just a regular triad. So I like playing the 6 chord, diminished, and then you can do the Ellington ending. And then, right, you could do that. There's so many different ways you can go. I chose to do low end bass notes, as you can see here, and soloing and improvising in my right hand, which you can definitely do. Ah, my bad. Oh, sorry, guys. The notation is cut off here because of the screen recorder, but. Anyways, I just have this solo break, and let me check this out. I'll listen. Okay. So essentially what I'm doing there, and you can check out the performance of it to see the notation anyway, but when I hit my F7 sharp 11, all I'm doing is arpeggiating and shaking. Arpeggiating and shaking. So I'm not necessarily just doing a full arpeggio, right? So again, I have A... third, the sharp 11, 7, and 9. What I'm doing is kind of going... So I'm doing... Like doing this, and then moving up, and then moving up again. Right? Okay, that's a neat little trick there. Instead of just rolling or arpeggiating, you can roll, roll, roll. And it gives this kind of like a echoey effect, which is really, really cool. All right. A lot of amazing things in there, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And I'll see you in the next tune.